Yeah, very warm welcome. Apologise, I pressed the wrong buttons as always. Internet problems. But anyway, we've got a fantastic guest on tonight. George Freund from the Conspiracy Cafe is a brilliant guest. He knows all about, you know, the vaccine damages, the conspiracy stuff. Factualist, actually. His website is conspiracy-cafe.com. He's been on that channel.com and he's currently hosting the Power Hour. George, I haven't got a big bio for you, apart from if there's anybody out there that anyone needs to talk to get a point across, it's got to be you, because even though I didn't really know you that well, through our friend Tim, I've got to know you, and you seem to be the one that sticks out, you know, in Canada for podcasting on these delicate subjects. Welcome to the show.
Oh, thank you very much, Andrew. It's a pleasure. It's, you know, a long, long, drawn-out battle Tim and I have been in with over the years, and very ironic how this started is we met at one of these 9/11 meetup groups in Toronto in the days when, you know, people could actually sit beside each other and spread germs. And ironically, I picked a seat where Tim is on one side of me, and then another chap I did a lot of radio with was on the other side of me. And then we started to get talking. And before you knew it, you know, we were absconded with and put in braces and sent before that channel to do our penance for life, is to try to get the truth out. And I did shows with Tim and my colleague James Harp. James is also big at university radio at the U of T. And we did a stint there as well. And, you know, I still bring them on Power Hour Nation, where, you know, my bedrock is now. That's a top American radio station in Missouri, primarily now focused around Kansas City, Liberty, Missouri, and Nashville, Tennessee, with a small station on the West Coast in Washington. It's, you know, pretty much the point of the sword. I've been affiliated with them for a long, 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 long time. The originator of that program was Joyce Riley. At the time, that was the number four morning talk show in the United States, and we slayed many dragons together. And at that time, I was the guest, not the host. And when she was doing her show, I would be working diligently as a researcher to find out the wooden stake that was necessary to drive through the demon's heart as it came up, because some of these things would come up upon us so quickly. And in a parallel to the disease we have today, you know, one of the last big projects we were together on was the Ebola scare. And, you know, I'm tenacious at looking for information, and it just dawned on me probably the most effective place to look for information on this would have been in the local newspapers, as close to the source as possible. So I started scouring through some of those newspapers, and I found out there was a big scandal. Someone was poisoning the wells. No wonder people were sick. No wonder people died. And no wonder they were starting some sort of fake pandemic that would bring us to our knees. So when we exposed that on such a powerful radio station, it kind of lost its juice. And then another thing I found in my research is there's a cure for Ebola. The rubber plant. No one who ever worked in the rubber plantations ever got Ebola, because there's something in there that prevents it and keeps you healthy. Just like there's things that prevent you from getting the SARS coronavirus that you're not allowed to know, because you're walking into a trap, and you won't walk into the trap if you know it's a trap and you know what the answer is. Very important little details.
Well, actually, that's interesting. So we'll go from Ebola first and then we'll move on to COVID. I totally believe, based on all the research I've done recently myself, because somebody told me, was it a dream? I often get dreams and they come true, but I don't know. I don't think it was a dream. I'm sure someone told me, but I'm not sure. This SARS-CoV-19 is just a dummy run for a massive Ebola outbreak in the next 2-3 years. I don't know if you've heard anything about that.
Not particularly, but it seems to be their weapon of choice, is to use some sort of disease. And the reason that is, it's a classic Roman war strategy, divide and conquer. When you face an enemy, you don't want the enemy to join together, unite, and fight back. So if you scare them that there's a disease that they shouldn't get close to each other or associate with each other, then we can't form a unified attack to go after the enemy that's conquering us because we're afraid of getting a disease. So we'll just sit it out and let them conquer us. And then after it's all over, well, we'll be a conspiracy theory, perhaps, that we even existed in the first place, because whoever wins writes the history. And these are age-old tactics, techniques that, you know, go back to the dawn of time, but I guess generally they're not taught in school, so we are at the disadvantage of our masters, that they crack this information whip and we just respond in kind instead of being knowledgeable and understanding about the things. I don't know if the old TV show Get Smart was very popular in the UK, but Don Adams was the star of that comedy show, and any time the evil chaos pulled a trick on him, he would always say, oh, that's the old so-and-so, so-and-so trick. That's the third or fourth time I've fallen for it this week. And that's basically what they have, is a limited bag of tricks. They pull these bag of tricks on us, and for the newbies, it's just like, oh, fear, terror, blind panic, run, run. But these are done like military operations. And because I do radio in the United States, they're a little more familiar with their history, and I pick Vietnam as a great example. The classic thing you're going to have, and probably most people have seen a movie about Vietnam, you understand what an ambush is. So what I do is, when you're patrolling in the jungle and I want to kill you, is I set off a whole bunch of flashbangs, fire a few shots, I make you panic and run, and they make you panic and run into a controlled kill zone. The kill zone is where I have the heavy weapons lined up on you, and I just take you out, your history, and I'm not. But when you're an experienced soldier, you know when the flashbangs go off and the few shots are fired, you're being set up for an ambush. So the last thing you want to do is run into the kill zone. Does that sound familiar? Like maybe there's a COVID disease and somebody set off a big alarm and they use the flashbangs to say, COVID, new variant, and you run to get what? The needle. You get the happy needle, we put the new computer programming in you, and the war is over, you lost because you ran into the kill zone. And these are just classic age-old tricks. The Israeli intelligence, at least, is very good about that. By deception, you win wars. It's the art of war, something very few people are tenured in, and they fall for tricks that go back many, many thousands of years into ancient China. And we have to do better. We have to do better by far. This they're taking our whole livelihood away from us. And this is not just the money and the financial aspects of the Great Reset. This is also the aspects of your very soul and your ability to form thoughts, complete control of your movement, your bodily functions. One doctor I had on our show, Dr. Kerry Madej, was at a medical conference 5-6 years ago. I'm going to know when you crap, because your phone's going to tell me. I'm going to know when you're horny. I'm going to know when your blood pressure goes up. I'm going to read your blood sugar. It's all going to be downloaded from your body into your phone, go on a nap, and come to me, because I'm Big Brother, and I can do that. And you were dumb enough to open up the phone to me. She was just floored at this meeting. You know, maybe because she's a woman of some modesty. You want to know when I menstruate and how? You're going to do this through my phone? You know, and that was like the slap in the face that woke her up to be very outspoken about this. And she's all over the internet, that you can listen to her on the transhumanist agenda, what they're really putting into your body and what it's going to do through you through your phone apps. And she chucked right away. She looked at her phone and go, these apps are here. They're hidden in my phone already. They're going to know when my bladder's full. Do you really want someone to know that much about you? As soon as I saw one of these newfangled iPhones, I refused to adopt any of that technology. But slavery is so convenient, just like the trap. You're never going to get the mouse to step in the trap unless you bait it properly. And when you put the proper bait there, it's just happy to give up its life. Or any other animal that you could trap, including the human animal. But as soon as I saw they put a phone or a camera on both sides of the phone, a friend got one, you know, like, oh, a nice camera, and they flip it over, and there's another camera. I mean, you're going to be watching me everywhere. The National Security Agency and your equivalent in Britain, you know, they're going to have porn films of you 6 ways from Sunday because people take their phones everywhere. They're going to watch you in the, you know, when you're going to the bathroom. People probably hang it around their necks in the shower. There's nothing they're not collecting from that. Nothing. That microphone, that camera is running all the time. Everything is being recorded and used, analyzed almost instantly. I was talking to a friend about a great documentary I saw about Russian icebreakers going to the North Pole. It was just really interesting. I loved it. I go back to my computer within 10 minutes. I'm getting ads to go on Arctic cruises, Antarctic holidays, and stuff like that. And it's not my phone. They analyzed my voice, knew it was me, and are sending stuff to my email account. That's how fast it is.
Well, actually, on that note, because, you know, if I've got something relevant to say, then obviously I will. It's funny because I can understand the fact that when you're searching on Google for something and then seconds later you get an email, I can understand that. But if you're in a conversation on your cell phone or even in the street, really, sometimes, I'm getting similar. I mean, it's happened a few times. I've told Tim about this. I said, it's got to be a coincidence, surely. But now I don't actually believe it. I actually now believe that, you know, that COVID-19 jab I did have, oh, God, early February, February the 13th, funnily enough, and I'm doing my next one on Saturday. Mm-hmm. I really do believe that the vaccine can, you know, I don't want to scare people because that's not what it's about. It's about facts. And I can talk about something and I'll get an advert in my email. I mean, just like you, you know, it's not on. We can't do nothing about it now if we're stupid enough to have the vaccine. But I just wanted to travel, you know, and I'm 50-odd and I thought, I've got to do that. I wouldn't do that to go around the UK in bars and holidays. No chance in the world I wouldn't have had the jab. But I want to go international to meet people and do things before they control me or before I die.
It's never going to happen. The human race lost a war. We are all prisoners of that war. If I was going to take over your country, say the Germans visited England instead of the Netherlands or France, look at what wouldn't happen anymore. You couldn't meet in groups. They wouldn't really like you going to bars or churches. There'd be a curfew. All your actions, places you go, would have to be tracked and analyzed, who you know, who you meet. That's exactly what happens when a conquering army comes in. Except the conquering army didn't come in en masse with troops. Would make it obvious. They came in more surreptitiously, where they take control of governments and government leaders and have them do this under the guise of the strategy of deception, the classic art of war. This is the greatest application of Sun Tzu's The Art of War that's ever been attempted and has been attempted successfully. They give you a little bit of candy, and you take it. That's the bait. The bait is you can travel. There was a couple in the States that was on the show. I was on Power Hour today, and they did it for travel. And then they were told, well, you can't travel. There's a new variant. You lied. Of course. What do you expect from evil? They're going to tell you the truth? They lie. They lie all the time. I'm Polish-German. We went through World War II in my family history. We went through the Holocaust. We know all about these lies. We've been killed by communists. We've been killed by fascists. My grandfather was in the Canadian Army. He was wounded in the Netherlands. He was with the Canadian division that was holding England together while your boys were being slaughtered in France. And that was the only defense Britain had at that time, was just one Canadian division. So if Hitler came, it wouldn't have lasted too long. But before he shipped out to go to D-Day, they had a leave. And everybody knew, when you got this leave, that's it. This may be your last time on Earth that you ever get to go on a holiday. And he went someplace cool. You like it. It's called Scotland. They took the train, him and his buddies, and they went on a giant beer fest to Holland or to Scotland and back. And then, you know, time came, you board the ships, and a lot of them never did anything after that. And in that war, in Poland, in occupied Poland, where some of my other side of the family are, it was the same guy. You know, you're going to concentration camps, right? Okay. Well, how do you get people to go to concentration camps? Well, it's very simple. The whole reason the Holocaust happened was they told everybody the Jews had typhus. Well, nobody wanted typhoid fever, so you go along. Yeah, we got to take this population and keep them under lock and key because they're going to give you typhus. Well, you don't care because you don't want to catch it. Lock them up. Take them away. Keep them far away from me. Well, we've got these measures and that measures. There's quarantines. All the shops are boarded up. You can't go here. You can't go there. You know, so you economically just ruin them and turn them into pudding. And then ultimately you want to get rid of them. So you just say, you know, we've got a plan. And it's nice with Klaus Schwab's German accent. We have a plan. Your life can go back to normal. We will relocate you to our territories in the east, yeah? So you go on this train, and when you get there to a new land, everything's going to be fine. You're going to have property. You can enjoy your life, and you're out of the trap. You don't need guns and soldiers to push people on the train. They go willingly. And then they get there, and they find out, oh, I just got to have a shower first. And then it never happened. You're gone. And it's like this with the, well, if you want to travel, you just take the jab. There's only one problem. I'm taking over your body. This is a plug-and-play app, according to Moderna's website. I'm going to turn you into a donkey, and you're going to stand in the street and wag your tail while people try to put pins in it. And there's nothing you can do about it anymore because I've got control of your DNA. I'm going to turn you into some genetically modified this or that. There's nothing you can do about it anymore because I have control of your central nervous system. And in time, you won't even be able to form a thought because only the thoughts that I approve can be in your mind, and the ones that used to be there are erased anymore. So you'll never even have a memory of the fact you were ever on a holiday before because I've got your soul because I'm the devil, and I can do that. That's why it's imperative to resist this. This is a giant psychological warfare strategy. I don't know if any of you have ever seen the movie Papillon. Classic movie, but there's a line or series of lines when Steve McQueen is going into solitary confinement. They're very, very important. I might even have them from notes from my show recently. But this is what they do to you. It's just like you're going to prison. So it's a short little segment, and I wrote it out. So he's going into reclusion because it's a French island. The rule here is total silence. We make no pretense at rehabilitation here. We're not priests, we're processors. A meat packer processes live animals into edible ones. We process dangerous ones into harmless ones. This will be accomplished by breaking you physically, spiritually, and here, pointing to his head. Strange things happen to the head here. Put all hope out of your mind and wait for the vaccine so you don't drain your strength. Because it's a family show, so I left out masturbate. But this is what you're being. You're being herded like animals in a prison system. What we knew, everything's gone. Our leaders are traitors, all of them. They've taken the keys to the store. You know, when you listen, I probably send it to you, but if you haven't heard Boris Johnson's speech at the UN in 2019, Google it, look it up. It's still online. I made lots of copies, so if it disappears, I got it, and I'll put it on BitChute. And he makes it quite plain that he has surrendered. The world has surrendered. Okay, he's the Prime Minister of Great Britain. He has the keys to your nuclear triggers. He's not somebody being taken away to the funny farm in a straitjacket in a dark ambulance. He's the Prime Minister of Great Britain. And he makes it very plain that the world has been conquered by artificial intelligence, and there's nothing we can do about it. They own us. He even went so far as to say, pink-eyed Terminator robots have come from the future to kill us all. That's not too hard to understand. It's probably beyond the grasp of most people to understand that there can be a genocide, and that's why mRNA technology is a genocide weapon. So you're going to put a genocide weapon in my body to make me better, and I'll be okay. Okay, now there was something called Plato's Laws of Logic. Plato, oh yeah, that goes back a long time. But when you find inconsistencies in these statements and arguments, well, politicians lie all the time. It's just a rite of passage. They have to lie. They're the best liars that have ever been created. Well, now all of a sudden, wait a minute. You know, these inconsistencies mean that this isn't true. So everything they're telling me is a lie, but I believe the lie because I must believe the lie because Big Brother, the media, tells me. I sent you the article on the Freedom of Information request for Scotland. 2,207 people died in 28 days after having the COVID vaccine during February. Well, they don't count because they're dead now, so they can't put up their, raise their hand. Oh, not like Monty Python. I'm not dead yet. And say what really happened. So that's all written off. You died from something else, and it had nothing to do with the jab. But you're dead.
You know, actually, what they're doing, I'm not saying that, you know, I've seen categorical evidence. You know, it's obviously never going to be official. But what they're doing, even on the official reports that they send out themselves, you know, the government-approved reports, what they're doing is they're saying, well, these people died with, that's it. They're saying they died with COVID. So, for example, if someone's got a broken leg, an infection, they died. So on the death report, it would be died with COVID. But died of COVID is a lot less, as in you've got the infection and you've died. I mean, and they're wanting to scare people on the died with element. Technically, they're not actually lying, but technically they're scaring you in the first place.
Exactly. But people don't read deeply. One researcher that I have found all this on the CDC's website on how doctors were supposed to alter the death certificates. So there's the cause of death. Shot to the head 25 times. Pretty obvious. Then there's the contributing factors. Depression, took, you know, SSRI drugs, you know, whatever they want to add to the secondary causes. And then they did a blood test and they found you had COVID. So cause of death? COVID. That's an out-and-out, total, complete lie. So let's just change it around to something humorous, perhaps. You died with money in your pocket. Money in your pocket? Oh, no! He had money in his pocket. So what are you going to do, throw it all away? Yes, he died with money in his pocket. No more cash. Ban all cash. No one ever has money before because it causes death. No, it was maybe a contributing factor to the guy who smashed your skull in the robbery, you know, that you had money in your pocket. And this is how they twist and manipulate things. So you're dealing with master deceivers. And if anyone's going to try to deceive you over such important things to such a degree, the end result has to be the worst case scenario. And many influential people speak up. One that, you know, came across my nose, former Pfizer VP. It is entirely possible this will be used for massive scale depopulation. That's Dr. Mike Yeadon, from formerly at Pfizer. He was their chief science officer. And he probably didn't like working with the devil, so he decided, you know, well, maybe for integrity's sake, I'll drop out. Then there's an American doctor, Lee Merritt. She's of the same point of view, that these are bioweapons, and calls COVID-19 injections weaponized medicine, because there's another Russian doctor who immigrated to the United States, Igor Shepard, and I'm sure he changed his name, but you never know, could have had an anglicized parent at one point or another. But he worked on this project for the Russian military in Poland, and he knows all about building these things, and they were built to be bioweapons. These were built so that you want to take over a country. You know, somebody invented nuclear weapons. You just can't go, even if you wanted to invade France or England, it's not a pushover anymore. They only got to launch a couple back at you, and you'll be cleaning for weeks. So that game's over. You can't do overt attacks anymore. You have to do covert. So the reason they invented this weapon was, I invented disease. You get sick. You take this. And slowly, over a period of time, most of the people who are going to get it the first are going to be the military, the police, first responders, the medical establishment, people in government, bureaucrats, because they're afraid of this disease. And after a while, they won't be alive anymore. And then it's just a cakewalk to come in and clean up. Nobody's in the military anymore. They're dead. You know, we got a couple old farmers with pitchforks and a couple of angry housewives with a rolling pin, and that's going to hold off the Red Army. It isn't going to happen. So you win. That was what it was designed for. And they're going to deploy this against insects. So you look at the other side of the coin. This one just chilled me. Friday, we had a big storm through the United States. The studio was wiped out for power, and we couldn't do the show that day. And one of the things in the news that was sent to me was just absolutely chilling. the new pesticides that are coming out are mRNAi for insect pesticides, that they're going to kill the bugs. And what they do is they go into the bug and they silence life-supporting genes, and the bug dies. Well, you got a plug-and-play app in you now. I can turn you off anytime. It's like, you know, they say Gene Roddenberry had contact with whatever the entities are that really run this planet, and that's the whole basis of the first generation Star Trek ones. And virtually everything you see in there is sort of like fulfilling itself in prophecy. But this is like the ultimate instrument of obedience. I can turn you off anytime I please. Now beg me for what you think you need. And I'll think about whether I give it to you or not as I'm programming my little machine here for you. Will I just burn you with fever a little bit? Will I turn you off? Will you get better? It's all up to me because I'm the programmer, and there's nothing you can do about it now because you put an app in your body, just like if you put an app in your phone. Your phone's going to do what the app tells it to do. It's not going to do what you told it to do. And that was the dangerous thing Dr. Madej found, is they put these apps in her phone, and she has no control over them because she didn't even know what they were, and she didn't know they were even in her phone until it was explained to her. But she was smart enough to realize the danger. You have been seduced and tricked into walking into a trap. Now, the hard part is, it's like stepping into quicksand. How are you going to get out? I haven't gotten in, and nor will I. People would tease me sometimes at work and say, well, when you get in your shot, I said, you'll know. And they go, well, how will we know? I said, I'll be on TV. Oh, you're going to be on TV? Oh, yeah. Because the Army will be chasing me down the street, and they'll have to shoot me dead and stick it in my dead body. Because I know what this is about. It's about the complete total domination of the human race, completely and totally. Back in 1958, some guy who became president, his name was Lyndon Johnson. He was a senator then. And he spoke to the Democratic caucus, so it has to be true, right? Because only Republicans and rightists lie. But he made a speech to the caucus. And he said these words, the masters of infinity. And then he went into a dissertation on how they control the weather, that they can make anything happen in the weather and there's nothing we can do about it. Some conspiracy theory. I have a great big long list of famous people who have spoken on these things, including one of your own, Winston Churchill. And so let me pick that up because I closed that page and I'll get back to it. But Woodrow Wilson talked about it. Many of the other people talked about it. This guy, maybe I'll say even before Winnie, Dr. Kirk E. Koch, the New World Order under the UN will reduce everything to one common denominator. The system will be made up of a single currency, single centrally financed government, single tax system, single language, single political system, single world court of justice, single state religion. Each person will have a registered number. They decided that at the Barcelona Mobile World Phone Conference in 2019 in Spain, everybody's going to have an IP number. Just want to get you with the program. Without which he will not be allowed to buy or sell. They call that a COVA pass, I think. And there will be one universal world church. And it'll probably be the Church of Satan, and there'll be no exemptions. Anyone who refuses to take part in the universal system will have no right to exist. And then we pull a little something on that plug-and-play app, and you're gone. Winnie stated to the London Press in 1922, from the days of Spartacus, Weizsäcker, Karl Marx, Trotsky, Rosa Luxemburg, and Emma Goldman, the world conspiracy has been steadily growing. This conspiracy played a definite, recognizable role in the tragedy of the French Revolution. It has been the mainspring of every subversive movement through the 19th century. And now, at last, this band of extraordinary personalities from the underworld of the great cities of Europe and America have gripped the Russian people by the hair of their head and have become the undisputed masters of that enormous empire. Very profound words. And they use that, you know, C word, conspiracy. Everything seems to be a conspiracy now. That's why I chose that for my website, to just take it on head on. You see, in English lore, you had Sherlock Holmes, and he would be a great detective, a great investigator. And what would he work on? He would work on reasonable deduction. You use Plato's laws of logic. You're presented with evidence. You sift through it. You find out what's consistent, what's inconsistent, throw away and keep as required. But it's reasonable deduction. Now it's called conspiracy theory because we have Orwell. We have Big Brother. Big Brother says, this is the way it is. 2 plus 2 is 5. 2 plus 2 is 5. You hold your fingers up and you go, my hand must be built wrong because I don't see that. Slap, slap. It has to be what he says it is. 1913, Woodrow Wilson, President of the United States, in his book, The New Freedom. Since I entered politics, I have chiefly had men's views confided to me privately. Some of the biggest men in the United States in the field of commerce and manufacture are afraid of something. They know that there is a power somewhere, so organized, so subtle, so watchful, so interlocked, so complete, so pervasive, that they better not speak above their breath when they speak in condemnation of it. John Kennedy spoke in condemnation of it. The rest was history. They blew his brains out. And this is the monster we face. An Israeli intelligence chief, 87 and still kicking, Haim Eshed, wrote a book, The Universe Beyond the Horizon. So he was in charge of the intelligence aspects of the Israeli space program. And he said very plainly and clearly that Israel and the United States have signed a treaty with what we call the aliens or the hidden race. And I'm sure that treaty was signed as a means of surrender. I've posted a lot of information just recently on my website that gets back into the early 50s when this was open knowledge. And it's before my time. I wasn't aware of it. And I stumbled across it when I was supposed to interview Dr. Stanton Friedman. And he died near my home before we could do the interview. And it was going to be on Roswell. I thought it would be a light, easy topic to get away from some of this stuff. And it was the Pandora's box of hell that I found. And I penned a blog called The War of the Multiverse. Because what I determined in the book The Day After Roswell is not only was there a war, we lost. And something has been in charge of the world for a long time. In the summer of 1952, UFOs buzzed the White House for 2 weeks. And there's classic pictures of, how many can I see here? 4, 8, 9. I see 11 of them in this one picture. There could be another couple behind the dome. And they just flew all over the place. It was front page news all over the United States. It was on the front cover in a major article by Life Magazine, Look Magazine. There was the biggest press conference given by the United States Air Force since World War II. Right across the nation, the world, everybody talked about this. They got us. Right? President Truman spoke about this. And I've never heard those words. That just kind of floored me a little bit, too. That, you know, how could, someone so influential as the president say something and that we're completely oblivious to it? And that was just very surprising to me, really. But back in 1950, he was talking about this. And he made it quite plain. There's still a segment of his speech available online, and you can hear it from his own lips. So he said, I can assure you the flying saucers, given that they exist, are not constructed by any power on Earth. White House Press Conference, Washington, D.C., April 4, 1950. And what I liked in a show I found about it that I'm starting to follow now because it covered this, what they call the Washington merry-go-round, Project Blue Book. Very, very interesting where they dramatize some of this and base it on historical record. And on my website, I'll attach the real things that go with the fiction in the story because they change it a little bit to protect the names of the innocent. But one of the lines they use in there I just loved, and I didn't realize it was Harry Truman's. The only thing new in the world is the history you do not know. Brilliant. Absolutely brilliant. No wonder they tried to assassinate him. It makes perfect sense now. But whatever that was, it would seem by buzzing Washington, D.C., that America surrendered to it. That's the force. And whether it's intraterrestrial, extraterrestrial, there's a skeleton, like the elephant in the room, and it runs and controls everything, and there ain't a whole lot we can do about it because it's so much more technically gifted than we are. And Boris Johnson makes that quite plain in his speech. that this AI, this artificial intelligence, your toaster's going to spy on you, he said specifically. Your mattress will pull your dreams out of your mind and read them. And, then, you know, is he a raving lunatic or is he the Prime Minister of Great Britain? And he said, you know, basically we can't defeat it. So we're going to build and work on the technology to develop it ourselves. So he's going to make the weapons that are to destroy us. And this isn't being talked about. We're talking about, oh, should we wear a mask or should we not? That's all a diversion to take us away from the real issues of what's happening and why it's happening. The robot Sophia, the AI Sophia, when she was asked, they turned it into a joke, but they asked her flat out, you know, what are you here for? What are you going to do? Kill all the people. Ha, 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 funny, funny. And then they asked her, you know, cyborg brother Han, what can we do about it? Turn off the power. But you won't do that, will you? So they're also sarcastic. And this is primarily what their mission is. And no one can tell you. No one's going to show you. No one's going to lead you by the hand. After I wrote War of the Multiverse, because this is the constraints of time don't exist to the Masters of Infinity. This war is being fought in the past. It's being fought here before us, and it's being fought in the future. There was something devised in a project paper from Purdue University in 2004. And it is the sentient world simulation, where they make a computer existence of us. But they put our DNA in there. So it's like the ultimate voodoo doll in computer. And that's the arms race of the future, to fight in the quantum battlefield. Anything with ships, planes, missiles, this, that, that's like little kids playing in a sandbox compared to this. The Masters of Infinity can control time. The United States Navy is working on time distortion experiments. But that's not news to the great BBC or anything like that. But it is very, very pertinent. Another American did a Freedom of Information Act request. It was answered in 2017. I archived that on my page, too, because he has the documents there from the Defense Intelligence Agency that they're stripping the technology from what they say are crashed UFOs. I just don't believe the word crashed. I think we're being given this technology, and there's a trade-off. The trade-off is I sell you my herd, and you give me the technology, and I rule the universe. Because we are so behind in the ability of technology that we might as well be cavemen. If that's all you think about is, you know, like basically a moving vehicle or somebody can go in an airplane or this or that. That was the whole basis of my show when MH370 disappeared. There were 8 men on that plane that were working on time modification experiments. They were going to Beijing. Nobody's going to let them get there. That you can bet your bottom dollar on. And they're gone without a trace, like many things. But we'll get back to Colonel Corso and the day after Roswell. There's 6 pages in there that are absolutely essential for you to know and to understand. So I look at Roswell as a Trojan horse operation. They gave us the rope to kill ourselves. The UFO crashes. We recover technology. Corso said, the UFO isn't a UFO. It's a time machine. Everybody says it wrong. They tell you it's a UFO, that it's some kind of interterrestrial spacecraft. It wasn't. That's not what he said. He handled the Roswell file. I believe him because he was a devoutly religious man. He was probably one of the only officers in occupied Europe running the place as basically a complete and total police state when the army of occupation was there. And he didn't rob his portion of Italy that he was controlling. He didn't loot the place. He was trying to get the universities back together to do research. There was some famous Italian scientists working on cancer research. He was trying to recover the arts and history and heritage of the country. He wasn't like Kissinger, who was looting his area blind. So I believe him. So he said these things were time machines, and he said the little aliens weren't aliens. They were genetically modified robots. Well, that's a big play, too. That they've taken that completely out of context from what he said. And they're trying to say that these are a life form. No, they weren't. They weren't a life form. We didn't understand genetically modified in 1947 and probably for a long time after, and maybe not even robots. But that's what they were, in his words, and I believe him. Then he also said the life form was the silicon wafer. So we see that silicon wafer in movies or documentaries on Roswell, where they crunch up something that looks like a space blanket, and it just goes back to its shape. And there was a big to-do because one of the guys took it and gave it to his children. And that really caused a big upset. And they went there with, you know, armed military police to get this back. And it was pretty much, you're going to give us this or we're going to kill you. And they made no bones about that. So they gave it back. Corso said we would spread that around the world like Ebola, which we have. And it would become the central entity computer, which they talked about at the Barcelona Mobile World Phone Conference. And it would rule our lives completely and totally. And that was one of the things that was in the Freedom of Information Act request that this researcher put in. And it also had, of the pages released, 32 pages on biomaterials. You might have some in your body now. That these things are the masters of a destiny, of a technology we can't even begin to understand. Nanobots, what they do, what they don't do. And, you know, we've swallowed this hook, line, and sinker. Boris Johnson's father was recently recorded talking just like some of the people I had in, you know, what I was going to use on last week's show, to say there's too many people in the world, we got to get rid of them, in a nutshell. Jacques Cousteau said that in 1991 to UNESCO Courier magazine. It's a terrible thing to say. In order to stabilize world population, we must eliminate 350,000 people per day. Ted Turner, Audubon magazine, 1996, a total world population of 250 to 300 million people, a 95% decline from present levels would be ideal. In the event that I am reincarnated, you must remember this chap, I would like to return as a deadly virus in order to contribute something to solve overpopulation. Prince Philip, Deutsche Press agent, Tour, August 1988. So turn up to your injection site without delay. Your services are no longer required. The whole COVID scam is being run like Orson Welles' War of the Worlds from the Mercury Theater. Is they put stuff on TV and radio, and you believe it because it's on TV and radio or in the print, and you run. The only thing is Orson Welles isn't going to come back and say, this is just a radio play. There are no Martians. We were just kidding. But when they did that play and they saw the reaction of the people, they knew they had you. They can pull your strings anytime at all because you hear it in the media. And probably the greatest media scientist that ever lived was a Canadian. And he has a name that might ring a bit true in Scotland because his name was Marshall McLuhan. And I wrote a blog, it's on the masthead of my website, conspiracy-cafe.com. Marshall McLuhan, is Satan the Prince of the Airwaves? And he describes our future, what it means. World War III is a guerrilla information war with no distinction between military and civilian participation. You're in the grips of it right now. We are invested in an electric information environment that is quite as imperceptible to us as water is to a fish. And that's why you fall victim to these things. It's very easy. But what he says is the prince of darkness, the prince of the airwaves, as described in the Bible, Satan, is the media. That's what it is. There's no fake news. That's why it's all lies, cheats, deceits, manipulations, is because that is Satan. He holds the ethereal space. That's his battlefield. That's why the Beeb is what it is. That's why that video you sent me about the guy trying to broadcast being harassed by the police is the same way. This is the Easter time coming, right? Like, you know, who nailed Jesus to the cross? It was the centurions. Who's nailing that broadcaster to the cross? It's your own police. They're the centurions. Because they must serve Rome. And if that means hauling you all off, kicking and screaming, they'll do it because they get a nice shiny badge and a uniform and they can pretend they have power and they feel like they're doing something for the team to protect the evil conglomerate that really rules the world. In the concentration camps, they had their own Jewish police to beat and slaughter their own people, the capo. You'll buy a little more time. Maybe they'll kill me last and I can have all your stuff in the meantime. People line up for an opportunity like that. When you just think about like some of the dark-edged horror, like, you know, this murdering cop that the big riot started, when he kidnapped and murdered this young girl, beautiful young woman, and, you know, he just rapes her and kills her, and this is supposed to be some symbol of authority. It's just absolutely disgusting. But these things were foretold in the Bible, and I came across something that just blew my mind there too, is, you know, you control all the knowledge and information when you write stuff. And that's what they did in the past. They couldn't control the internet. What they controlled was the translations. It was a capital offense to translate the Bible, you know, back in the days and days and days and days gone, like with John Wycliffe. They dug his body up and executed him for translating without a license. Okay, that you know, so if you possessed any of that heretical material, you were tortured and killed, or killed and maybe tortured after, so you didn't feel it. That was the penalty for telling some of those words. And I stumbled across something, and I go to Bible Gateway, where you can have all the different versions in English, and I can compare who translated what or why. And some things are just generally all the same. You go from Shakespearean English to modern English or something, but by and large, it's all the same. And then I heard something about some quote somewhere that said, there's no men and no women. And I go, wait a minute, that sounds like today, because we have to have a transgender agenda, because we're all going to be robots, so there isn't going to be gender anymore. That's passé. There are no boys. There are no girls. Sounds like school today. They teach you that. Because they're preparing you for the future. Can't say those words. In America, like, they want to ban brother and sister. You can't say those words anymore. Can't have a mother or a father, because after 2025, there'll be no more human births anymore. You'll have to be some sort of genetically modified, altered creature. End of the game. So I'm looking through all the old things. I can't find this anywhere, except one bit in the Wycliffe Bible. So I went, okay. So if you're out, there's one. The Orthodox Jewish Bible, where they have a lot of the original Hebrew words in there, anglicized so you can pronounce them in what I would guess call pidgin Hebrew. So I picked that one. I click on there, and I go to it. And I go, oh, there's what I'm looking for. And it talks about that time when there's no man and no women. But part of the other part was another one where you slay your sex drive, you slay your member. So that's translated all over the place in different phraseologies, you slay your member. Okay, well, that sounds painful, really. But so I looked that one up on there, too, and it has a whole different meaning, because there's many sentences they never translated at all. And that just blew my mind. So I wrote a blog called The Resurrection Body. You probably hear about that. We're going to have a new mind, a new body, that kind of stuff. It's in Christianity, too. You get the new mind, you find Jesus, you get the new mind, a new body. No. That's prophecy. This is going to happen after they roboticize you. You get a new mind and a new body. And that's where you get life ever after, because you're going to be a plastic imitation of a human being, the image.
The reason I'm not talking a lot is because my mouth is wide open and I'm Googling what you're telling me. I'm Googling at the same time. Galatians 3:28, if people do like Bibles, it says it is a widely commented biblical passage in which Paul states, there is neither Jew nor Greek, slave nor free, male or female, for you are all one in Jesus Christ. But it also says, it's particularly cited in Christian discussions about gender equality and racism. So if you look back in your mind to them days when they wrote that, that's all happening now.
Yes. And in those days, they didn't understand what was going on. And the people who knew the truth were probably put to death. But there were words in there that I'd never come across before. And I work with a guy who's Jewish and he speaks Hebrew. And I'd go over them. I could never pronounce them properly. I'd have to really sit down and practice with him. But, in Colossians 3 in the Orthodox Jewish Bible, it tells that. Therefore, put to death your Everim, your members. Okay? So, Adam means two things. It can mean penis. It can mean mankind. So there was another part in there where they had another thing called Adam Hachadash, as the other life form. And we are Adam Hakadmoni, the unregenerated humanity, or the ones like us who die, carbon-based life, I call it. And the other one, Adam Hachadash, the translations came back like magical, mystical. Well, that really doesn't make any sense in context that we have a magical, mystical penis. You'd be very popular Saturday night. So it's probably the translation is mankind. You have a magical, mystical mankind. Well, what would that be? The only explanation I can come up with is that's the roboticized version of mankind. And it's not to slay your member, it's to slay you, the original creation, Adam, in total. and wipe you out. And that's why we see all these doctors warning us about genocide, where we have so many world leaders for a long, long period of time talking to us about culling the human herd and getting rid of us. Because we're created in God's image, we have to be destroyed. And the other image, the image of a man, is the robot. And it's going to take over. And there's really nothing you can do about it. Boris Johnson says it in his speech. You're going to have a world run by an algorithm. The algorithm has no feelings, emotions. It's colder than a snake. A snake can love you sometimes, bite you the other times. The algorithm is far more cruel and heartless. So if it decides that it's going to just eliminate all the people in Great Britain and grow a field, you're gone, because it just turns you off. Goodbye. And it's over, just like that. But we have no tools to fight this, because we haven't got even the most vague understanding of what's coming. But in that language, where they talked about the man or the woman, it'd be neither Yavina, Ivina, or Yehudi, female or male. There is neither those who are or not of the Bris Milah. There is no uncultured non-Greek speaker. There is no Scythian, Eved, or Ben-Chorin, but rather Messiah is all in all. So the Messiah is all in all, but the rest of us are pretty much out of luck. And without telling anyone any of these words, the Wycliffe Bible was written, what, 1385 or something like that? So it wasn't even translated then. Before that, you had things in Latin or Hebrew or Greek. No one could read them. No one could understand them. And if you even had one, that's used to surprise me when I was younger. If you had a copy of the Bible, you were punished. You weren't allowed to have it. Only a priest could read from Scripture, and in Latin, a language you didn't understand. And from that, you had someone divining what's right, what's wrong, and such. It leaves the world open for horrible misinterpretations. And I found in history, if there's anything we learn from history, each generation codifies its history, but its history are its lies. So we codify those lies, and we send it to the next generation. The next generation has to use it, because that's all they've got, because everybody else is dead, and they think that's the truth. So we'll look at that as maybe like the Warren Commission report. So people who were alive then go, it's full of crap. The 9/11 Commission report, it's full of crap. But 100 years from now, that's all that's going to be left, and that's all people can go to the garden to get, are these things, and assume that it's the truth because it came from a high authority and was codified. And then we find out they lied. And then I tease people, and I tell people to download all the podcasts from the Power Hour and leave them on their hard drive. Because maybe hundreds of years from now, someone's going to find one of those things and be able to open it up and listen to the real voices of people who lived at the time. Just like people have found the Nag Hammadi Gospels in a cave in the Middle East somewhere, or other ancient texts on decayed parchment, and realize that people risked their lives to preserve words for future generations that were ordered burned and probably on pain of death if they got caught with them. We're not that bad yet. But someone may find this. And I'm doing a new show on a free forum called LoyalTube. And one of the guests I've had on my show, a noted author who wrote books called, you know, Who Murdered Elvis, Who Murdered FDR, American Man, and he's put together a substitute for Facebook and YouTube where you can put things up in a free speech forum. And he invited me to post videos there exclusively for him. And I call my new show there, The Last Witness. And that's part and parcel of that. Is maybe someday, long after we're gone, someone will find that recording, and I'll be the last witness about what happened to our society, because we won't be here anymore. The first stage of the injections are advertising to scare you into getting it. You know, Bernays wrote the book, Propaganda. It's all about advertising, how to get you to buy something. So to buy into this concept. So you'll run and you'll buy into this concept, you'll get this voluntarily. Then the next step is already talked about, coercion. Oh, you want to travel, eh? Oh, yeah. You want this license, eh? Mm-hmm. Yeah. We have ways to get you that license. Mm-hmm. You know, it's been tried before. Surely to God, after all the bombs that fell on your country, some of them must have knocked some sense into somebody somewhere about what evil is. You know, I used to live next door to a woman who survived the Blitz. Tough? You can't even imagine tough. You know, here's this sweet old grandmother lady, you know, and I'm just like, wow, man, I wouldn't want to be on the wrong side of her. I said, what did you do when the bombs were falling? I make tea. Either gets me or it don't, and then I get up and dig out the dead. You know, that's tough. And I look at all the weenies today. Oh, Osama Bin Laden! Osama Bin Laden! I'm going to die! I need a mask! Save me! Save me! Oh, Satan, save me! Give me your mark! Come on. These old girls were tough, man. And then there was the men. But when I think, you know, when I went to high school, most of my buddies were Scottish. Tough. And then some of their friends were Irish. Tough. You know, what happened? Even the soccer hooligans had probably run from them. I remember going to a sports match when I was a teenager or something. I had a few too many, and I fell down, and some guy pushed me and stuff like that. Well, there was a guy coming visiting from the old country. He was a boxing champion of Belfast. That's all I saw were bodies flying through the air like little, oh, there goes another one. There goes another one. There goes another one. And then he puts his arm down and pulled me up. I go, oh, thanks, Ian. Appreciate that. Tough. You got to find some spunk because evil's always after your butt. Do you know what happened in the Holocaust? Do you know what the Germans did? Did you know what the American corporations did? And they're doing it today. IBM is behind all this CovaPass stuff and the tracking apps and all that. There's a great book written, IBM and the Holocaust. If you haven't seen it, if you don't know about it, you're doomed. But the IBM invented this machine called the Hollerith machine. So in the old days, computers had data cards. So it wasn't a computer. It was a mechanical sorting machine that used those data cards for the Gestapo to measure your worth. And you had your numbers, whether you're a useless eater or not. Because basically the Gestapo was a big business to run slaves to use them in their business enterprises. And they tattooed that number on your arm. You must have heard about that.
Oh, yeah.
The infamous tattoo.
I heard from Peter Hosha, my friend.
The tattoo's in you. I don't have to write it on your arm. You can't see it, but I can read it. I can just have to scan you, and I know all about you. Ah, yes, yes.
Well.
One of those kind, eh? You get the treatment. But this is what it is. I call IBM, I burned many. And we don't learn from history. We want to go right back and do it again. Oh, yeah, yeah, give me one of those things. I want a tattoo. Where does it end? So I used to have a saying in Toronto Talk Radio, well, you can wake up before you get on the train. You can wake up on the train. You can wake up at the gate to the camp. You can wake up the door before you go into the shower room at the door, or you're never going to wake up again. And you better wake up, because this is what's coming for you. This is always what's been coming for you. It's just, we just lack the understanding. Evil is infinite, has no bounds. And we are limited because we can't even conceive of being that evil. But when, you know, the Prince of England says, I want to come back as a virus, he doesn't have too long to go either. He's got to be nearing the end of the lifespan and kill you all. Maybe he wanted to see it while he was still alive, to kill you all. Oh, gee, what a nice guy. What a beautiful family. And the Prime Minister's dad wants to kill us all. Oh, lovely. And Boris Johnson's going to make all the technology in dear old London so that I can be a slave. And Orwell's 1984 dream can come true. And he can be part of Big Brother's empire. I better get that job. I better be happy about all that stuff. You know, it's just hard to believe how naive we are. In the jungle,
I was just thinking, George, if we had a chance there to save us, what would we need to do? Or is it too late? Have we got too many injections now in the population that we're all going to be controlled and we're too late? Because over the years, you know, the 5 years I've been doing this, there's always been an element of Agenda 21, and there's been good examples of that, and I've met and felt that in my own life, you know. So it's not just a conspiracy theory, more of a fact. But what can we do now? Is it too late? What you know, people won't protest, people won't do things together like stop paying the bills or not have the injections. What can we actually do?
Well, those are part of it, is just starting, you know, Orwell said too, that one of the things you have to do, and I take it very, very sincerely, those writers in his day were warriors too. They fought in the Spanish Civil War, most of them for the communist side, but it was brutal war. I read a good book on that that just, you know, floored me at the depth and breadth of their intellect, their courage. Orwell was shot in the throat in that war, but trouble with being tall, I guess. But the book was called Cold Warriors, and it just happened to be at the cash at a bookstore when I was going out, Writers Who Waged a Literary Cold War, and it was more than literary, and I learned a lot from that. But Orwell said very clearly, to beat them, even to form a thought against what they're doing, is part of the great collective of us, because we are still part of a hive mind of what we are, even if we don't understand it exactly. The enemy probably understands it very well and tries to pretend that, or make us understand, we don't have any power or any strength. But he said, even if we form the thought, we've beaten them, that we formed a thought of resistance, because that makes thoughts or energy. And if hundreds of us, thousands of us, millions of us form these thoughts, that's an energy that can't be defeated. And that's why they want to control the media, ultimately, is so they can control the thought energy. And but if we don't allow that, part of it is, this, I'd always used to say, it's the easiest war ever won, based on McLuhan's teachings. You just change the channel. Turn it off. Remember the movie Network? If you haven't seen it, see it. And Howard Beale does his great speech in the movie, and he tells people that. He just tells them, we're consummate liars. That's what the media is. Everything is a lie. And he tells people that they have the power. And then part of his speech at the end, I remember that part very clearly, is turn them off. Right in the middle of the sentence, I'm speaking to you. Turn it off. And when you turn it off, they lose their power. And you get your power back. So you might be in a vacuum for a little while, like the alcoholic who doesn't have a drink. You're itchy and scratchy because you can't get your endorphins, you know, from the TV set or the phone or the computer or something like that. And you're free for a minute. And then you can turn other things on, like your show, Power Our Nation in the United States. It's global. We go out on Worldwide Christian Radio from Tennessee the next morning. And, you know, so I can go into Satan's ethereal space and kick him in the cojones and, you know, pie in the face. And never give up to fear. I watched an old TV show. I love some of the old TV shows from the 60s because they were fighting this battle. And they put all kinds of clues in there about what's coming, how it's coming. And, you know, it was like the best defense strategy they could have. One great show, period, was The Invaders. But many of them have little segues in there that just show you the strength and the courage. And I make great pains to, you know, to watch them and put them up on my website to talk about and discuss. And you just see, you know, from the various lines that they have, what can be done and how you can beat them, you know. And it is possible. But that's part of it, is not to give it energy. One of the old Star Trek series ones was about this little ball that came on the Enterprise. And it fed off fear, and it fed off, like, hatred, you know, like the negative emotions fed it. And that's part of what Jesus was trying to say, is love your neighbor, love your enemy. Because then this monster can't feed. And if it can't feed, it's got to leave. And that's what happened. So it divided the ship into two segments, the Klingons and the Earth people, and they fought a never-ending war. And it didn't matter what happened to them, their bodies would regenerate, and they turned back to normal and go back to fight. Maybe they had the jab. And then we become half plastic, like it's speculated to be. And we just go back and continue in this and feed this negative energy. Well, in this old TV show, Kung Fu, which I really liked with David Carradine, maybe some people have heard of him or it, I watched this episode called The Brujo. So The Brujo is in, you know, Mexico or South Texas or something, in a Hispanic village. And he's like the voodoo guy. And he makes you believe you're sick, and you get sick or die. And he has little voodoo dolls that he can do things on you. Well, David Carradine comes into town. He's a Chinese priest, raised in, not like the Catholic priest, but he it's a religious thing from China. And he's really one top guy in martial arts. That's what made it special. And he goes there and he sees this, and he refuses to give his power to the Brujo. So he never gets sick. Other people get sick. He heals them because he breaks the spell over them, and they recover. And this is what they're doing to us. They're putting a spell on us, and we accept the evil into our body. And they said something so profound in that show, it just stunned me. When you submit to fear, you're making a contract with evil, or the devil if you want to call it, that they have power over you. When you refuse to be fearful, you're not accepting the contract, and there's nothing they can do to you. There was another Star Trek episode where they fought the gunfight at the OK Corral. That was, you know, probably a brilliant one, too, where they go into like an artificial reality computer simulation world where there's the evil gang, the Clantons, and the Star Trek guys are there, and they're the ERP and company, and they're set up for the gunfight at the OK Corral. But they can't do anything to the enemy because they're computer-generated imaginary things. But they can die because they think the bullets in the guns of their adversaries are real. Spock is the only one who knows they aren't real. And he says those bullets can't hurt you because they're not real. They're figments of your imagination. You only react to the thought and the belief of it that you allow yourself to die by accepting that reality. You made a contract, just like in the Brujo. So they come up to us with this bug. It's real. Oh, it's terrible. It's the boogeyman. It's going to kill you. It's going to do this. It's going to do that. You made a contract with them to take in the fear. And you gave away all your strength. And you can even get sick and die from it because you accepted the reality that really isn't a reality, but you made it a reality by accepting it. And when you put up that wall around, I walk around and wear no mask. I won't take none of this vaccine bullshit or anything else like that. You know, I know what works. I came with an immune system, and it works. It doesn't work when you don't put the right nutrients in your body. So if you're vitamin deficient, most doctors say, you know, most people are vitamin D deficient. You get sick. Remember, there was something called scurvy. It didn't have vitamin C. Well, nobody knew about that for hundreds of years. Even after the Royal Navy figured it out, it took another 100 years before it was openly accepted. Maybe you better put a little bit of lime in that grog, eh? And then all of a sudden you got a new nationality called Limeys because you figured it out. But it was a long, arduous struggle. We don't have time for that right now. We got to take the shortcut. And you keep your bodies up, and then what does the media say? Oh, vitamins! Oh, heretic! Doctors can't say vitamins. There's only one solution, the needle, the final solution. You can't have any other solution. Nothing that worked in the past can work now because Big Brother has spoken. 2 plus 2 is 5. You said 4, you're a heretic. We take your medical license. Doesn't that ring into something that, hey, if I was selling you like something phony or false or something like that, you're going to take all my money and you're going to give me this thing and it don't work and I'm going to pay you for it? You know, neurons are going to connect together. You're going to realize someone's a charlatan. And it's like this. They're charlatans. Hydroxy, it works. In sub-Saharan Africa, there are no intensive care beds. Right? None. They have 1% of the death rate of the industrialized world. Why? Because you can buy hydroxy over the counter, and it's used as a prophylactic because you're in a malaria world. Because it works. And even the Beeb, bastards that they are, there were protesters, big protests in France, and they brought out this article. It was after you sent me the article about the broadcast, but I just wanted to vomit looking at this. It was so bad. Oh, hydroxy doesn't work, and Trump's an idiot, and all that. Well, Trump's gone. I'm glad he's gone. I'm glad he's gone because now they can't blame anything on him anymore. He's not the captain of the ship. You got to look up at the captain now. It's a whole new crew, whole new captains. They're steering it. Whatever happens, there's where you point the finger. The other guy's has been. And that's probably the best thing that could happen now because we lose focus by taking up the delusions that they put before our minds.
Yeah, now, George, just on that note quickly, a lot of people have forgotten about Trump or they wish he hadn't or they wish he had gone. But Joe Biden, he hasn't really been here, has he? What happened to him?
Well, he might not even be Joe Biden. That was one of the other great Star Trek episodes where they go to a planet that's controlled by Nazis. And they have a leader, their Führer, is drugged and roboticized. And he sits in a booth with a big microphone in front of his face. And they play segmented speeches of him so that you think he's talking, but he's not. He's just a controlled fool or idiot. And we may run into that with Biden. Someone revealed that in one of the videos where they're coming from a White House, that they're not at the White House. They're really in Georgia at a studio set. And the alleged Biden walked through the microphone. So that tells you you're on green screen, that it was all simulated. So when they show us a lot of things, the man's a blithering, he's a crook, so you can call him a blithering idiot. But, he's in severe stages of dementia. He can't even form sentences. he's controlled by the microphone in his ear on what to say, what to do. So when he was, right from the very beginning, he's walking past the Marine guards going into the White House. So it got picked up by another microphone. But he's being given instructions on his earpiece. Salute the Marines. Well, he didn't salute the Marines. He said it, because usually that's what they tell him to say, and he says what they tell him to say. So he walks by the Marines, and he goes, salute the Marines, and walks by. He's not in control.
Apart from his original speech, you know, the first speech ever of new president, he looked and sounded brilliant. But even then you thought, isn't there something quite not right here? You know, I mean, I'm only talking from a low-level education here. You know, there's something not right. Is he going to pass out tomorrow? Is he going to die? Is he going to be controlled in the future? At least Trump, you know, he's a few years younger, but at least he had his mouth and he opened it regular and he made sure he was being an active president. But this one, I don't hear nothing of Biden anymore.
No, because he's an illusion, and the emperor has no clothes. That's, you know, actually, they're one of the American researchers, Dr. James Fetzer, who does a lot of work on the Kennedy assassination. I worked with a lot of people who were with the Kennedy assassination.
Oh, yeah, James Fetzer, he is 100% bang on.
Well, he's deduced by close body examination, there's two Bidens, because they have different earlobes. So that's one thing the plastic surgeons forget a lot of times when they're doing touch-ups to make a double. And Winnie had doubles. Hitler had doubles. It's the way the world works, and we still fall for the same trick. Where's Max? Oh, that's the 25th time I fell for the double trick. And the earlobes are different. One of the earlobes attached to the heads completely, and the other one it's not. It's loose. There's space at the bottom to move the earlobe. They're two different people. Those aren't the same people. Or maybe it's not even a person at all. Maybe it's just a computer-generated hologram. They can duplicate stuff like that, you know. And I came across that ages ago, too. I watched this speech from Trump on The Sun, on their website. And I was just, wow, I couldn't believe he said what he said. Well, so most of the liberal left, they'd hate it and abhor it. And I'm going, holy smokes, man, wow, what a great speech. You know, I'm 100% in that. So I brought it up on Power Hour, and it just tells you, you know, how closely you're listened to. So this woman, who may have been with the Republican Party or something like that, calls the station, talks to the producer, and says, you know, at exactly this moment, this second, I said exactly these words about this topic, you know, so they had every word noted down and the time to the second. And I'm going like, holy smokes, there's listening. And I'm going like, then I'm thinking for a second, okay, where did I hear that again? Then I'm thinking, oh, yeah, it was in the video. So I go to the video and I play it back. And all of a sudden, it's different. Wait a minute. That's not what I heard. So I went to the White House. I looked at the speech. And the speech is what she said, not what I heard before. So then I started to do some research with that with the New York Times. And I found out, oh, that's no problem. They can make a computer animated anybody and put words in your mouth. So they did it as a fun example of whatever. But it's just chilling what they can do. I just take words you've already spoken, put it into an artificial intelligence type of thing, and there's something that looks like you, talks like you, and says whatever I want you to say.
Yeah,
and
I mean,
be able to tell the difference.
I mean, you know, these are the facts. I said to you, I find this unusual. You've told me there's already people talking about it. I didn't actually know any of this, so this is a real conversation. So no, I just noticed there was something not quite right about him. And if I was president in my first 100 days, I would keep pledging. And, you know, it's kind of like, you know, you've had your orgasm. You've had your sex. Now it's time. Yeah, that's it. You know, time to move on. And you'd be telling people what a wonderful president I am. And I'm going to do this and do that every single day for the next 3 months. But he hasn't said much, and when he does, it's really weird.
Well, one Canadian radio station was rather funny. He was talking about the hair in his legs in the sunshine and what they do. So one book you're never going to find or one epitaph of his presidency is not going to be the great speeches. because he can barely form a sentence in reality. And when you think of the great orators from the British Parliament, and one of the ones talking about the aliens that's in my blog, The Importance of Reading, too, was some guy named Benjamin Disraeli, and if you know your British history, you know him, and even he was talking about it back in the 1870s, that this all-pervasive force is there, and it's something they have to deal with, and it controls them. But, you know, the beauty of parliamentary debate up until probably very recently was just amazing, because at least, you know, you are English, so you speak the language so well, and your abilities for nuances are just tremendous. Like, you couldn't even go to stand-up comedy and find, you know, the rapport of the great speakers through history. And, you know, Winnie was a champion of it, but, you know, that's why I loved the older newspapers from the 19th century. The level of writing was just fantastic because you couldn't present images. There's the odd lithograph or something like that, but you had to describe everything with words and it had to be flowing and beautiful. And they were there then, and we've lost so much of that. But, you know, Biden is just, well, I've done a lot of radio shows on Biden, and, you know, they even... it was kind of shocking. I called a host in Toronto, even let me on Toronto radio, which is, you know, generally verboten. But what I found out about the Democratic Party and who they are and what they are should send shivers through your spine. But, you know, that's probably one of the biggest covered up things that's open knowledge. But it's like I read to you from Truman's thing. The only thing new is what you don't know from history. And I just started on a crusade one day to look into something because I heard something that didn't make sense. It was illogical. Dianne Feinstein used to have a concealed carry permit. And I'm going, what? You know, I was alive then at the time for those events. I'm just going, like, the queen of gun control carried a piece? Oh, come on. What's going on? So I started to look back, and okay, I get into San Francisco city politics. She was the first one on the bodies of Mayor Moscone and Harvey Milk. I'm going, cool. She owned a gun the same make, model, and caliber as the alleged killer, Dan White. Cool. She turned hers into a United Nations gun control program to have it destroyed, and Dan White's gun went missing from the San Francisco Police Department property room. Two cools. And being an avid researcher in assassinations, I start going, like, something, you know, like Columbo used to say, there's something just doesn't fit here. And you find out there's two different types of bullets were used. And two different wound patterns. It was like a defensive, across-the-table type wound pattern, which were probably fired by Dan White, and the victim put their hands up in a defensive thing. None of those wounds were fatal. The second wound pattern was two coup de grace shots to the head. So, very interesting. Then she says... and this is where, you know, the logic test comes in. She was the first person on both bodies. She was a supervisor or, like, counselor for the city council. And she put her fingers in the bullet holes to staunch the flow of blood in an attempt to save their lives. Well, if you took two shots to the head, you don't even have a head. There's nothing to put your fingers in anymore. They're gone. There's nothing bringing them back. And there's not going to be any bleeding either because they're dead. So she's lying. Well, if you were lying and you had a gun, have I disqualified you from being a suspect? And then when you look at the deep inner history of Democratic politics back then, you ever hear of the Jonestown cult? Jimmy Jones ran San Francisco. Jimmy Jones was the housing commissioner. Jimmy Jones provided the women for Mayor Moscone. Jimmy Jones was involved with Harvey Milk. Jimmy Jones could tell President Carter, I want to see your wife. And President Carter had to say, she's on the plane, help yourself. He was the president-elect. Jimmy Jones commands the president-elect to present his wife to him. What kind of power does he have? Jimmy Jones went to Jonestown, Guyana. Jimmy Jones is supposed to give him the magic Kool-Aid to all kinds of people. Jimmy Jones initiated all kinds of politicians. You know, there was another guy named Ron Pelosi on the Board of Supervisors in San Francisco. Sounds like a certain person's brother-in-law, Nancy Pelosi. Imagine that. They were all initiates to the People's Temple. Willie Brown, former Speaker of the California Legislature and a former mayor of San Francisco, was one too. And he had himself a nice bitch. Her name was Kamala Harris. She's the vice president. And when the president's gone, she's the president. And what was one of the big talks just before Trump went out and when Biden went in? Launch codes. Launch codes. Launch codes. We got to have the launch codes. Oh, cool. And what was the whole concept of the People's Temple? To start a war between the United States and the Soviet Union. And help reduce that population the other way, the hard way. Isn't that interesting? What a coincidence. What a coincidence indeed. And we see something, too, in the Kool-Aid. Everybody knows the Kool-Aid story, I hope, from Jonestown, that they had the mass suicide cult. You drink the Kool-Aid, right? And people die. Well, most of them were actually shot and stabbed to death. But that's according to the Guyanese coroner, who wasn't allowed to examine the bodies in detail. He had to turn them over to the Americans. The Kool-Aid was mostly myth. But most people wouldn't drink it. They were shot and stabbed, according to his firsthand observations traveling through the residue of what's left. Jimmy Jones used to do what was called the White Night broadcast. In the middle of the night, you get on the PA system, White Night! White Night! And everybody would have to show up at the main building and go through the suicide ritual and listen to him talk for hours, uninterrupted. And that's all well and good. Beautiful. So these people have got the keys to the store. Where do you think the Kool-Aid is? It's in the needle. So after I did a Toronto show on that, on conspiracy, the conspiracy show Sunday nights in Toronto, which would be really early in the morning for you guys, is a Texas show picked me up, Caravan to Midnight, and then I'm in a contest, who's going to speak first, me or, you know, that general that was popular there in the Trump administration. What's his name now? Anyway, but he got the first prize. He got to go on the day it was supposed to be mine. I had to go the next day. He bombed. General Flynn, that's it, General Flynn. So that's kind of cool. I didn't bomb. The host of that show was just, his mouth was hanging open for what I was telling him. And hopefully it's hanging open for a lot of other people. This is how the deep state intelligence agencies work, with mind control. There was another camp in Jonestown, or the Guyana area near Jonestown, that was never closed down. There were thousands of people in there where they're doing mind control experiments on people and turning them into their zombies to do whatever the hell they want them to do. They could make you do anything. And it's just all part of like the Manchurian concept, Manchurian candidate concept. So for all we know, who knows what they did to Kamala Harris? You give her the launch codes? Just like before with that other guy, John McCain, they tried to kill me over that one when I started exposing that one. It took me a long time to learn to walk again. He was a prisoner of war. He was a Manchurian candidate. Just as a decent man, he should never be asking for that job for that reason, because there is the possibility he could have been contaminated in the Vietnamese prison. And then our other one, our Mormon man, you know what Mormonism really is for? They fought a war with the United States. It's the only religion to fight a war with the United States in the 1870s. Their two prophets were killed in Missouri in that war. And each one of them has to take a blood oath to destroy the United States. Can they have the launch codes, please? Because the head of the Mormon Church is God on earth. You may be the president, but two steps above you, in your religion, there's another man who's God. And he's telling you, blood atonement, blood atonement, launch the weapons. He has to do it. And you're going to give him the keys to the store just like you were giving somebody a little bit of change to buy an ice cream. You know, it's just amazing, really. But that's humanity. Somehow we survive. And hopefully somehow we'll survive this one, too. Because it's a negative thing. But if it doesn't work, if there's something they didn't plan out, maybe it just won't work. And they can't take control of people's bodies and really turn this into what they want it to be. Except through fear. And if we don't give them the fear, it just kind of falls off the plate.
I think the fear is more powerful than actually doing it.
Yes, that's how people. That's how the you know the dictator. There should, must be a handbook. I don't have one, but you know the dictator's handbook. But there's two ways to rule: by fear or by force. So you either have to have the centurions in the street to beat you into submission, or you have to make people afraid. And that's generally been the tactic that's used over the centuries. Usually it's fear of overwhelming violence. That's why they'd have public executions being hung, drawn, and quartered. Ooh, gee, ooh, I don't want that one. Well, and they cut your balls off?
If my friend Peter Hochschild wasn't in an Austrian prison, and if he wasn't getting older, he's in prison for no reason, only opening his mouth, he could tell you all about the German techniques. Because he's a historian, he's learned it all, he speaks German, and he can talk about the Jews, and, you know, he doesn't have a bad thing to say about them. You know, they were definitely slaughtered. So he could really have a good conversation if ever he gets out of Austria and if ever he, you know, wants to do it again. We are in contact, and he seems to be okay, but they're giving him injections now for his mental health, which he didn't need it, and now his skin and his other bodily functions are going. It's a shame, really. Can we wrap this up in a minute, George? I've got a call in a few minutes, I'm told.
Okay.
It's been brilliant, and I mean, I'd like to have you on again in a few weeks, you know, and, well, maybe sooner if the second injection on Saturday is anything to talk about, because I am a bit worried about it.
Well, like I say, it's all experimental, and that's the dangerous thing about it. And you are being seduced into getting it, if this was a legitimate disease, they wouldn't have to lie.
There's definitely no disease.
You know, but SARS is an American disease. It was invented, was called ARS. And acute respiratory syndrome was devised as a bioweapon to use against the Chinese in the Korean War because they didn't want to drop the bomb on them. And they killed about 1 million people with it. And there's a great book written about that, unfortunately, I wanted to interview the man, but he passed away before I could get him. He was in his 90s. He was still alive. And it was probably one of my favorite books to read on how they developed these weapons and how they used them, put them in leaflet bombs and all this sort of thing. So that's one of their major components to use. And there's also a big story in the state of Georgia, Tbilisi, Georgia. The Americans have 25 secret bioweapons.
And then throw that milk away.
All around the world. And they've been using the SARS coronavirus in bats. And they've been moving these samples in the diplomatic cover all over the world.
Even them bottles.
I interviewed a Bulgarian reporter who was covering that story. I haven't been able to get a hold of her since.
Take them as well.
It's a shame, but she still has a website that's functioning and puts this information up there. And so when they start to try to name names, the Chinese did it, this did it, that did it, that's mostly all smoke and mirrors. By and large, whatever really runs the world is doing it, and basically all our governments are proxy agents to them, and they're all working together, unified, to basically destroy humanity if they get half a chance. And the only thing that gives them that power is the fact we are uninformed over everything because they have such control over the media. And, it's a terrible shame. Like, I hate to see the system collapse because with knowledge, the power from knowledge, this could all be overturned in a fortnight. And we just go back to normal victors as opposed to vanquished. But it's a matter of choice. People keep wanting to choose this poisoned media to take their information. And I use an analogy of a well. If you knew a well was poisoned and if you drink it, you die, would you really quest for the thirst of it? Or, maybe I'll just hike that extra couple of miles and go to the river because this well is poisoned. But for some strange reason, it's very difficult to resist. And that's a shame. But thank God for you because you're doing your part. And you're making sure that to as big an audience as you can influence as many people as possible. From our perspective, if we just change a small paradigm, if we save a few lives here, a few lives there, if we make people understand, even better, to get them to actually think on their own, independently, without following the herd, the crowd, My mother was adamant since I was the smallest child. Never followed a crowd. If everybody jumps off a cliff, don't jump. Don't think I was prepared for the needle and all this stuff to follow the crowd, as an example. But my grandfather, the same thing. His sisters were killed in the Holocaust. And he was adamant, too. The most important thing you have and can do for yourself is to think for yourself. Never, under any circumstances, let anyone else do your thinking for you. That's your most sovereign right as a human being. And when you give that away to these big corporations to control what you think and what you reason, especially anything that goes into like a big parade, brass band down the street, for whatever is the flavor of the minute or the week or the month, is probably all bullshit. And, you know, you can almost take that as a given. So start looking for holes in their arguments and stories, and you find them very quickly. And then you decide. And if that hurts little Greta's feelings, don't worry about it.
You're absolutely right. I mean, only a couple of days and I'll finish the show, but I definitely want you back very, very soon, because there's a lot we haven't talked about, because my mouth has been open. My mouth has been open like that other chap on the other show. Now, last thing I'm going to say is...
President Bush had something to say about me a long time ago when I had a free speech spot on AM 640 in Toronto late at night. It was a very widely listened to show, and a lot of people only tuned in for my 15-20 minute segue here and there, and one of them was George Bush. So he called Prime Minister Martin. And I guess the seven words you can't say on television should also apply to radio to a degree. But I get the feeling you probably get my jest where he said, get that bleep, 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 bleep off the air. And they cut my spot and cut a couple of the shows on there that were trying to spread the truth about the terrorism on 9/11 and the Iraq war and all that sort of thing. So I never had too much good to say about that because it was just downright evil the way they were deceiving and, basically butchering whole villages of people all over the world that had nothing to do with anything and sending a whole bunch of young people to slaughter in stupid wars that never should have happened, basically because of his greed, avarice, and total failure as a president. Mm-hmm. But, that's just me. And then it was funny. They cut my spot there, and then I got on Power Hour Nation, and I was on 44 stations in the United States in the daytime. So you got, oh, bastard!
No, what I was going to say is my daughter, she's going through some troubles at the moment. She's a young person who don't live where we are. Anyway, there's certain things that she's been told, you know, you can't do this and you can't do that. It's against the law. But actually, a lot of it is more advice that's not true. And when she technically broke the law yesterday, she actually didn't. Because they're saying that we can't stop you. It's a long story anyway, but she said, we can't stop you doing it. But we try to stop you doing it. But if you want to do it, do it. It's nothing big deal, just these authority figures, the local councillors, social workers, they say do something, sorry, don't do something, but really they mean the opposite. It's really weird. And, yeah. All right, then.
We're living in like a communist system of you have these nameless, faceless bureaucrats of evil that up is down is up, and it's all 1984. And, it's just a terrible shame it had to come to that. But by and large, we have to realize, in America, I would say we the people, but, all these ideas came from Britain originally anyway. And if it wasn't for Runnymede and, all the civil wars through England and time, look over some of the comments of Oliver Cromwell. When you find you have cojones like that to speak, English is dated, I wouldn't want to be standing on the other side of him.
I was going to go, but for one last comment only. This will make you laugh. Where I was born in the it's called Fenland, Fenland, Fenland area of Cambridgeshire, England. Oliver Cromwell was actually based there, and Tim has found some old photographs of him, old photographs and new photographs of me, and he thinks Oliver Cromwell related, and it's quite funny because when me and the wife got married 30 years ago, that actual hotel has changed now into Oliver Cromwell Hotel. So there's a lot of coincidences there. I hope he's a good man.
Oh, indeed, indeed. Like that period of, you know, when you go back to the Elizabethan era and very old times in England, sometimes it just feels like I was there. You know, when I read about things, I was in Tim's movie. I played Sir Francis Walsingham. And, you know, it's just like the whole concept of the era. When you look at all the evil machinations, how they divide and conquer, to divide the Catholics and the Protestants against each other, to fight each other. And, you know, this is something that I deal with a lot of religious people. We have a common understanding of one thing, thou shalt not murder. And then we disagree about a minor thing and we'll kill each other. I thought we agreed on the first part.
That's
we were
good.
Wholeheartedly in there for that. You know, if we believe in Jesus, Jesus is Lord, then you're my brother. And I'm Polish and German, so I'm Lutheran and Catholic at the same time. And no more poisonous mix than Polish and German, let me tell you, too. But, you know, that's the way it was all planned out, that to see both sides of everything and to understand and to realize there's only one common enemy. The enemy is the devil, and the devil does anything he can to undermine us, to get us to hate each other. And that's something we just can't allow to happen.
And in some ways, the devil is part of our government, local authorities,
unless they're Satanists, they won't get the job. They wouldn't even let me clean the bathrooms in any state institution because I won't sell my soul to Satan. So, can't let him in here.
All righty, nice to have you on. Nice to have you on, George, and we've definitely got to come back again soon.
God bless you all, and pass around the haggis for Easter.
And maybe next time I'll get you on a bit earlier so we can talk longer because it's late now.
No worries. God bless you.
Take care. All the best.